Hello there, everyone. I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News. And this week's edition is for the 9th of February, 2022.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Helen, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Callum, Nikki, Julian, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country, we have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, a 10-day workout, Craig's Black Country Joke Book, information about RNIB's Blind Voters Count campaign, and rounding all that off, we have a review of fitness and wellbeing audiobooks. However, we start this week with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We now have then, as always, some local news, brought to us by Angela, Christine, Liz, Ed, and first up, it's Ian.
The West Midlands Police Commissioner has made a call for real investment from the government to keep children away from drugs and clear of crime. It comes after Ministry of Justice figures revealed that children had committed thousands of drug crimes in West Midlands and Staffordshire in less than a decade. The figures show 176 cautions or convictions were handed down to youngsters in the West Midlands over drug crimes in 2020 to 2021, with the punishments among 2,267 recorded since records began in 2013 to 14. Children in Staffordshire were also given 76 cautions or convictions, with the punishments among 482 recorded since records began. West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster said that during the past decade, young people had all too often been forgotten. Youth services and children's services have been cut and drug treatment programs scaled back, he added. The result is that too many young people take illicit drugs and are at risk of criminal exploitation. We now need real investment from this government to turn the tide, safeguard and promote the welfare of young people, keep them away from drugs and clear of crime. Staffordshire Police said that within its force area, there were two youth offending services which work with young people who have offended or are at risk of offending. A spokesman said, "It is a partnership approach made up of caseworkers, police officers and representatives from services including health, education, social care, probation, careers and substance misuse. This service is focused on identifying and assessing young people at risk, then intervening early to divert them away from offending or reoffending with bespoke support and education, as well as promoting positive extracurricular activities."
Efforts to get unemployed people into work in the West Midlands are being stepped up, with 16 temporary job centres now operating in the region. They are part of 194 that are being introduced across the country, 150 of which are now operational. The new temporary job centres include Cannock, Dudley, Howes Owen, Kidderminster, Shrewsbury, Stafford, Telford, Walsall, West Bromwich and Wolverhampton. A dozen youth hubs have also been opened in the West Midlands as part of the government's Way to Work campaign to get 500,000 more people into a job by the end of June. More than 150 youth hubs are up and running across Britain, helping young job seekers into training and work. Job seekers in the West Midlands get access at the temporary job centres to tailored face-to-face support to help them get into work or progress within their jobs. Work coaches at job centres are at the forefront of the government's drive, and many of those in the West Midlands have recently joined the Department for Work and Pensions as part of the rapid recruitment drive to hire 13,500 new coaches. Minister for Employment Mims Davies said, "This significant milestone demonstrates our plan for jobs in action, with 150 new job centres and youth hubs supporting communities in every corner of Britain, including the West Midlands. We are supporting even more people of all ages to find their way into work and progress into new roles, levelling up opportunity across the country." Youth Hub work coaches and partners are working with job centre-based youth employability coaches and tailored employment programmes, including Kickstart.
Fewer GP appointments were carried out in the Black Country and West Birmingham in December, figures show, as healthcare workers across England focus their efforts on the coronavirus booster jab rollout. GP teams up and down the country were urged to free up capacity to deliver COVID vaccinations after the government's booster jab campaign was ramped up in December. A letter from the NHS at the time said this could include pausing routine and non-urgent care and redeploying staff to support the rollout. NHS digital figures show 592,866 GP appointments were held across the NHS Black Country and West Birmingham CCG area in December. That was 18% fewer than the month before. Across England, 25 million GP appointments were held last December, 17% fewer than 30.3 million in November. However, this was a 6% rise from the 23.7 million in December 2020 and 8% higher than in December 2019. NHS England said the most recent figures did not include vaccination appointments and walk-ins, with more than 6 million jabs delivered by primary care networks between December the 8th and 31st alone. An NHS spokeswoman said, "General practice delivered more than 25 million routine appointments, ensuring people received urgent care, support for long-term conditions and cancer care was prioritised, whilst also delivering around half of all booster vaccinations in December, as the NHS answered the Prime Minister's call to focus all available resources on fighting Omicron. NHS England asked GPs to shift their focus back to routine care in late January.
Millions of pounds are expected to be invested after Wolverhampton was one of only two cities earmarked for help. But it remains unclear how much will come to the city amid claims the money is simply a recycling of existing funds. A government white paper sets out a series of wide-ranging national missions, from improving public transport to ensuring access to 5G broadband, to be enshrined in law. Under the plans, Wolverhampton, along with Sheffield, will be the first city selected to benefit from a radical new regeneration programme to be prioritised for a share of a £1.5 billion brownfield fund. The cash for the housing plan was allocated by the Treasury last year and is intended to give the wider West Midlands thousands of new homes. At the same time, ministers are promising to provide more power to the regions in a devolution revolution, with the offer of a London-style deal for any area of England that wants one. West Midlands Mayor Andy Street said he was encouraged by the strategy. "The government has said this is their defining mission," he said. "It looks like a well-constructed, determined approach to address this. It has to make a difference on the ground, so people in the Black Country need to see results. derelict sites being regenerated, and new business investment. He said there was no new money being announced in terms of total government spend, but added, "What we are hearing is how the departments are spending it on places like ours." Mr. Street described it as a boost for the region, adding, "The ball is now there for us to kick in the goal."
Charities across the Black Country are reporting concerns about the impact of steep gas and electricity bills on centre users and families. Tom Hayden, Chief Executive of Wolverhampton-based Good Shepherd Ministry, said, "We have got a lot of concerns about the rising energy costs. Before the price increases, we are making 10 referrals a week to the Warm Homes discount scheme. People were able to approach that scheme 3 times in succession, but in the last 6 weeks or so that has been reduced to 2, which is perhaps to do with the demand. We are already seeing people who are telling us they're in food poverty. This week we had one person who mentioned that. In the latter half of last year, we had 50 families. Last month we had 95 come in for food and advice, and we have singles coming in too, which is probably a sign of the difficulties being experienced. And all this before the impact of any rise in national insurance. Under the Warm Homes discount scheme, households can apply for £140 off electricity bills for winter 2021 to 2022 paid to the supplier. The discount may be applied to gas bills instead if supplier provides both gas and electricity. Mr. Hayden added that the charity had a small pot of funding for its household support service, which helps to alleviate the impact of food poverty, but this is due to end on the 31st of March.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen, back with another weekly roundup of everything you need to know about all things Beacon. I'll start by welcoming you to February, the month of love. If there's someone special you think the world of, there's no better month to tell them. Now, first this week, talking about the seasons, we've been showing our appreciation to everyone who supported us over the Christmas period. Whether you pulled on your running shoes to take part in our Santa run, tucked into a free course meal at one of our community Christmas lunches, made an extra special donation in memory of a loved one, or bought one of our FabLab gifts to someone special, together you helped us raise more than £6,000 to support people with sight loss. Thank you. What an amazing achievement. And if you're looking for a gift that keeps on giving throughout the year, our festive FabLab bestseller, A Personalised Music Sound Wave, is available all year round. Shop now at our Etsy store, www.etsy.com/shop/made by FabLab. With the start of February also came Chinese New Year, and our members marked the occasion by celebrating and helping whip up a tasty Chinese treat in our kitchen. They got to tuck into some noodles, prawn crackers and spring rolls. Yum yum. 2022 is the year of a tiger. And did you know the tiger has 6 times better eyesight than a human at night? Wow. With the start of the month, we also marked Dignity Action Day as we backed the campaign to help promote dignity across the care industry. It's central to what we do here at Beacon, so we thought we'd also share 3 ways how you can help maintain dignity for others in everyday life. Number 1, respect people as individuals. Number 2, be inclusive. Number 3, be compassionate. Lastly, this week we're also marking Payroll Giving Week. If you work, it's a really easy way to make a difference by donating through your salary. And it's tax efficient as well, meaning your money goes further. If you pledge £5, it will only cost you £4, as your tax will cover the rest. You can find out more on our website, www.beaconvision.org. That's www.beaconvision.org. And don't forget, if you need anything from Beacon, you can also give us a call, 01902 880111. That's 01902 880111. That's it for this week. I'll be back again soon with another update. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Up now, we have some more local news. And starting this one, we first hear the voice of Angela.
buying and refurbishing an existing city centre hotel would be more beneficial to Wolverhampton than a premier hotel as part of the West Side project, a councillor has said. Council chief said attracting a big name was their number one priority as part of the £55 million West Side development, which has been delayed due to COVID-19. And they said a site had been identified for the hotel at the junction of Ring Road St Mark's and School Street near to Sainsbury's as part of the project. Now, a Conservative councillor has argued the move would be at a huge public expense when the Labour-run authority could purchase the Britannia Hotel. But chiefs have hit back and said the Conservative group can't just walk around with a shopping list in the city without the government providing funding. The hotel chain has been ranked as the UK's worst by Which? This year, with the Lichfield Street branch the subject of hundreds of poor reviews online. And the signage on the front of the building is in need of repair, with the letters being illuminated to read Tanya Hot rather than the Britannia Hotel. Councillor Turrell, who represents Stepnor Whittick, said it's disgraceful that Labour councillors have allowed Wolverhampton city centre to degenerate over decades. The iconic Britannia Hotel building was once a jewel in the crown of our city, next to the Grand Theatre and surrounded by beautiful Victorian architecture. Now it's in an appalling condition and doesn't match what residents want to see. Councillor Stephen Simpkins, Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for City Economy, said, "We haven't got as much money as they think we have. Wouldn't it be great to say, we'll buy that and that? It would be really fantastic. Our role is to lever in investment to the city and to look at how to get that investment in. If they want to support our hotel strategy, they can. But you can't just walk around with a magic wand or a crystal ball. That's not how the world works. You have to take calculated risks, not just have a shopping list."
Food banks in the West Midlands and Staffordshire are preparing for a rush from people who will no longer be able to cope with the cost of living. Energy bills are set to rise by just under £700 a year, and the cost of mortgages, loans and credit cards will increase after interest rates were raised. Council tax bills are also about to be put up, with Sandwell Council announcing a rise of almost 4% and Walsall 3%. John Raj of Excel Food Bank in Bilston said it and other groups in the region were preparing for a significant rise in demand. He said he had already had a number of requests for blankets and quilts. He said this is going to put a tremendous strain on families who will have to choose between gas and electric and food. It will have a huge reaction in this area in particular, as the majority of our households have prepayment cards. The government says it will mitigate the rise of the cost of living through a mixture of initiatives and discounts, which will help families save up to £350.
A group of young adults with complex conditions, which include obsessive compulsive disorder, in Wolverhampton have been left without hot water and central heating for over 2 weeks. Lifeways Community Care provides assisted living at the complex for around 12 people who require special care and attention. They are amongst other residents who have been without basic heating or hot water since Monday, January the 24th, due to a major fault to the boiler. The company that manages the property, Centric, now says it will start work on restoring the water and heating supply on Monday, 2 weeks after the problem was first reported. Aaron Matharu, aged 27, has obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, autism and learning difficulties, and has lived in the complex for 5 years. He is having to visit his mother Ravi's home to shower and is living with temporary heaters provided by the Lifeways staff. Ravi said he's probably one of the lucky ones who can find an alternative for a shower, and he needs to because cleanliness is part of his OCD. But for people to go without heating or hot water for 2 weeks is not good enough, particularly in January. It might have been better if they could be rehoused in the meantime. A spokesman for the West Bromwich-based Lifeways Group said, "We have tried to provide a temporary heating solution for everyone affected by the problem, which has frustrated us as well, because at this time of year, nobody wants to be left without heating and hot water. In the short time frame and with the lack of available accommodation, it wasn't possible to rehouse the residents on a short-term basis, otherwise we would have. The repairs, which are being carried out by the landlord Centric, have been delayed because of the difficulty of getting a part, but we have been told now that the work will be carried out at the start of next week." Centric said they were doing everything they can to get the situation resolved as soon as possible.
Metal thefts hit a three-year high in the West Midlands last year, figures show. There were 840 offences recorded by police in the region in 2020-21, up from 620 the year before. It accounts for 35% rise and was the most since 2017-18, when 908 were reported, according to the Office for National Statistics data. Of the thefts last year, 258 included offences such as metal being stripped from buildings and electricity or railway cables being taken. The remaining offences accounted for crimes such as stealing scrap metal. The rise followed a national trend, with the Local Government Association saying it is extremely damaging and costly for businesses and those affected. The Local Government Association said the introduction of the Scrap Metal Dealers Act 2013, brought in to crack down on the trade in stolen metal, was initially successful, but rates have now risen. Nezel Kaliskan, chair of the Local Government Association's Safer and Stronger Communities Board, said metal theft can affect a range of people and businesses and is extremely damaging and costly. Councils target their resources as efficiently as possible and do what they can to support businesses to meet the requirements of the legislation and can take enforcement action where issues are identified. She added the Local Government Association is calling on the government to update the Scrap Metal Dealers Act and introduce an offence of advertising for and receiving cash for scrap metal to act as a deterrent.
It's time next to give our brains a workout, as we have Mina with this week's quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Roger's Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. Where did Valentine's Day originate? Question 2. In what year was the St. Valentine's Day massacre? Question 3. What was the name of the gangster allegedly responsible for the massacre? Question 4. What do birds start to do in Britain in February? Question 5. What is the official flower of February? And finally, question 6. Complete this saying. A red sky at night. As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show, but for now, good luck!
Cheers for those questions, Mina. I'll, of course, give those a ponder. Up now, we have another block of local news. And starting this, we hear from Liz.
More than 3,000 Dudley Borough residents have signed a petition demanding better waste collections to trigger a debate about the issue at full council. The petition was launched in December when Dudley Council announced free green waste collections would stop for residents. But despite the Conservative administration bowing the plan, the debate will go ahead. Petitioners also want the Anchor Lane tip reopened for residents and wheelie bins for recycling after clinching their first wish for free green waste collections. The petition was signed by 3,155 people and handed in to Dudley Council this week, having surpassed the 3,000 mark, which means the issue will be debated at full council on Monday, February the 28th. Secretary of the Lee and Stourbridge North Labour Party, Andy Tromans, handed in the petition. He said, thank you to the more than 3,000 Dudley residents who supported the petition. We still need a waste management facility in the north of the borough. Kieran Casey, Labour candidate for Castle and Priory, said, "This just shows what we can achieve when we work together, but there's more that we want to see, with better provision for local residents in general, and we want our local tip reopened in the north of the borough, another issue that has been handled ridiculously by the Conservatives in control of the council." Stourbridge North Councillor Pete Lowe said, "We have already seen how this petition has people power, as it has forced the Tories in Dudley to do an embarrassing U-turn on green bin charges. We still need to ensure our communities in the whole of the borough have access to recycling sites."
People in Wolverhampton are being asked to take extra care when sorting out domestic household waste and recycling materials to ensure they are put into the correct bins. The City Council issues three different coloured bins, a brown one for general domestic waste, a grey one for recycling, and a purple one for disposing of garden waste materials. However, the council has appealed to residents to take extra care when disposing of waste materials, following reports of a large number of bins ending up with a mixture of incorrect content. Councillor Phil Bateman said, "Often, as city councillors, we get complaints about residents that do not follow advice and guidance when it comes to sorting out and placing domestic refuse in the right coloured bins. This then leads to the waste disposal team leaving the contaminated bin or bins in situ or on the street, with the resident being responsible to sort and place the correct refuse in the right coloured bins. The disputed rubbish then hangs around for at least a week or more before the bin is emptied. Recently, one of these disputes built up over weeks. Councillors intervened following other residents' complaints, and we persuaded the authority to act," he added. "The authority have now told me that the bins have been emptied, but they were full and the recycling bin had domestic rubbish in it. They've also informed me that they have arranged for the small brown bin on site to be picked up by one of the council's bin collection teams." A leaflet has also been sent out in the post to residents entitled "Know Your Bins." This leaflet gives information on what needs to go in each of the bins and also explains people's responsibilities as the resident.
Stourbridge's long-awaited state-of-the-art glass museum has been granted permission for three planning applications to create new signs and install windows. The world-class facility to house Stourbridge's prized collection of glass is expected to open its doors to the public on April the 9th this year and has even registered a new website. It had been initially referred to as the White House Cone Museum of Glass, but it has now been confirmed the museum in Camp Hill, Wordsley, will be known as Stourbridge Glass Museum. Stourbridge Glass Museum, based in the former Stuart Crystal Glassworks in Wordsley, registered three planning applications in December last year. The Grade 2 listed building has plans including installation of window screens, ventilation screens, and three new shop signs, including a logo at the museum. Meanwhile, a new manager's office and reception are also being built. In a heritage statement, Stourbridge Glass Museum stated, "The logo has been designed by a specialist as part of the branding exercise funded by the Heritage Fund. The lettering will be fixed to a part of the building already overclad in aluminium and will pose no direct fixings into historic fabric. That being the case, the fabric immediately behind the cladding formed part of the 1980s amendments to the White House cone and do not have great significance other than to retain the form of the previous building." The museum also noted decorative screens to protect the building's glazing. In an approval statement, Dudley Council said, "In dealing with this application, the local planning authority have worked with the applicant in a positive, proactive and creative manner, seeking solutions to problems arising in relation to dealing with the application. By seeking to help the applicant resolve technical detail issues where required and maintaining the delivery of sustainable development."
Children at a Wolverhampton special school can enjoy the great outdoors after being given a new learning pod. Tetnall Wood School in Regis Road was given more than £5,000 towards its Forest Schools project, which helps children learn about nature and the importance of the environment. Tetnall Regis councillors Jonathan Yardley, Sohal Khan and Uday Singh visited the school to see how the cash they allocated from the ward fund was being used. Councillor Khan said, "I was so pleased to visit the school and see the children enjoying their new learning pod. We wanted to allocate money to a project which would really make a difference. So when the teachers at Tetnall Special School asked for help to pay for a new learning pod, it was the perfect match." Tetnall Regis Ward Fund had £5,500 left and the councillors agreed to donate it to special schools for the pod. Councillor Khan added, "This school is a really important part of our community. The work they do with children here is so inspiring. What is wonderful about the new learning pod is the children will be able to venture out of the classroom and learn in the outdoors, which is a great experience." Tetnall Wood School provides education for 71 pupils aged 5 to 19 with complex learning difficulties, the majority of whom also have a diagnosis of autistic spectrum conditions.
Netherton Arts Centre in Dudley has been added to the Theatres Trust list, bringing the total across the UK to 41. The list deems Netherton Arts Centre at risk of local authority disposal and Imperial Theatre at risk of sale. Netherton Arts Centre is a 322-seat Victorian theatre which was originally built as the Agricultural Hall in 1868 and converted to a theatre in 1947. Theatres Trust architecture advisor Claire Appleby described the centre as an important community and entertainment space for the local area since it first opened. She said, "Sadly, Theatres Trust has taken the decision to add it to our Theatres at Risk register, as it currently lies vacant after operator Dudley Performing Arts moved out last year." Conversations with the council, who own and had operated the venue, indicate that it has no capacity to continue to do so. It is understood that the council is looking at alternative options for the building, including reopening for community use. There had been initial discussions about reopening the theatre as a community-run venue with Dudley Little Theatre, a group with long associations with the theatre. These are currently paused. While the building remains vacant and plans for its future uncertain, it is considered at risk. Councillor Sean Kesey, Cabinet Member for Digital, Commercial and Customer Services, has moved to assure residents that the council are committed to looking at how they can bring Netherton Arts Centre back to life. He said, "We recognise the building needs some TLC and are in the early stages of assessing what would be possible in the building. The Theatre Trust recognises the centre has potential, and I have to say, I completely agree."
Now we have information from RNIB about their Blind Voters Count campaign.
Would you trust a stranger to vote on your behalf?
Many blind and partially sighted people still have to share their vote with someone they don't know.
These are real experiences shared by blind and partially sighted people, read out by RNIB staff.
When I can't vote independently, it makes me feel less of a person.
I asked my 10-year-old son to assist me. All I want to do is vote independently.
The voting booth was right beside the queue for the check-in desk. When telling my partner which candidate I wanted to vote for, a person in the queue beside the booth audibly sighed. I don't feel I get privacy in my vote.
No matter what I try, I don't seem to be able to get the support I need to vote independently.
I try my best to see what I can see and hope that I'm putting the cross in the correct box.
My helper disagrees with my vote, and I have no way to be sure she voted as I wished.
Right now, Michael Gove's Levelling Up department is making changes to the law on how we vote.
This will take away the guarantee of a vote without any assistance for people with sight loss, putting voting independently further out of reach for blind and partially sighted people.
Ask Michael Gove to protect our right to a secret vote. Sign our petition today. Hashtag Blind Voters Count.
RNIB. See differently.
If you'd like to add your name to that petition, simply visit tiny.cc /blindvoterscount. That URL again, tiny.cc/blindvoterscount. Now we have our final block of local news. And starting this one off, we first hear the voice of Christine.
Coffee, cake and a chance to chat are at the heart of the latest place of welcome to open in the region. Lifespring Church in Wolverhampton has opened its doors as part of the scheme, which offers a place for people to enjoy a hot drink, meet people and reduce isolation. The church is the 10th new venue in Wolverhampton and is part of a network of places across the Black Country, with more planned to open during 2022. It is offering a place for people to go every Wednesday morning at the Modern Church on Clifton Street, with organiser Diane Krucek keen to talk about what people can expect from the place of welcome. She said, Lifespring Church is situated in the heart of Chapel Ash, and as well as holding services every Sunday morning at 10 a.m, where everyone is welcome, we serve our community in a variety of ways. We have a modern welcoming building on Clifton Street where every Wednesday morning we welcome anyone to come and have a free hot drink and enjoy homemade cakes. A place to make new friends, have a game of dominoes or just sit and chat. There are many people in our area who would love the opportunity to have somewhere warm and welcoming to go, and we are joining Places of Welcome to make more people aware that we are here. We would love to welcome them for a friendly chat over a cup of tea or coffee. Life Springs Church will be the 10th place of welcome to open in Wolverhampton since lockdown and marks the 47th to open across the Black Country, with more opening next month. Places of welcome are free to attend and are open to anyone, and the coffee and cake at Life Spring is fantastic. To find out more about Places of Welcome, go to placesofwelcome.org.uk/about.
A toddler is set to become famous nationwide as part of a freight company's expansion plans. Isla Owen, aged 14 months, is keeping up Lye-based Andy Freight's tradition of featuring pictures of Black Country youngsters on the rear canopy of their vehicles with the slogan, "Just about the only thing not delivered by." Her grandfather, John Folks, was recently parked up in the area and noticed an Andy Freight lorry with one of the pictures on the back. It gave him the idea to ask if she could be featured on one of six new trailers, which have been ordered as part of a $1.2 million investment in the early part of this year. He said, "They asked me to send a decent photograph in of her, and a neighbour of ours is a professional photographer, so we had some put together, sent them off, and they were superimposed onto the back of the trailer. Obviously, we think the finished article is great, and we're thrilled as a family that our beautiful girl will be seen on highways and motorways nationwide. We would also like to thank Andy Pountney of Andy Freight for giving us the opportunity."
Pupils and staff at Loxdale Primary School in Bilston have joined volunteers from Severn Trent to plant seven tiny forests across Wolverhampton. As many as 4,200 trees are to be planted across the city as part of a project in partnership with Severn Trent and Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games. Sites at Ashmore Park, Heathtown Park in Heathtown, Haggar Street Open Space in Blakenhall, Warstones Green in Penn and Moseley Park School are all part of Severn Trent's plan to create a total of 72 tiny forests across the West Midlands region. The Water Company is Birmingham 2022's official nature and carbon neutral support, and together with environmental charity Earthwatch Europe, is creating the tiny forests to boost access to green space in urban areas and increase regional resilience against environmental issues such as flooding. Kerry Hughes from Loxdale Primary School's Emotional Health and Wellbeing team said, "We are very excited and honoured to be part of such a fabulous project. We were very lucky to move into a brand new school in September 2019, and the planting of the tiny forest at Loxdale will be a fantastic legacy. The children will be able to see the forest mature and flourish just as they grow and develop from children into responsible citizens of the future. This will be an incredible resource for generations of children to come, and we are very proud to be involved. Ricky Dallow, Forest Delivery Manager for Severn Trent, said, "We are really excited to have been joined by the local community this week to plant the seven sites in Wolverhampton. These tiny forests are going to be a real asset to the West Midlands. Not only will they help to deliver a legacy for the Games, but they will also increase access to green space in urban areas, benefiting both local communities and nature for generations to come."
Lives of people from the LGBTQ community are being recorded for a forthcoming book that will tell their stories in their words. LGBTQ Voices West Midlands 2021 to 2023 will feature 100 portraits and mini autobiographies of people taking part from across the region. The project is being driven by Cathy O'Connor, a gender fluid gay artist, to enable the community to be seen, heard, respected and valued. Cathy, 45, took photos and recorded audio interviews at Wolverhampton Art Gallery on Saturday, where among the participants was drag artist Will Hopkins. Known as Miss Brazil, he delighted other visitors with his colourful costume adorned with feathers. Cathy, who is LGBT ambassador for the BAS9 show currently exhibiting at Wolverhampton Art Gallery and School of Art, said, "Everyone featured is connected with the LGBTQ community, and I'm trying to be as diverse as possible. It is about creating a book that is authentic. When I was a kid, there was nothing on the bookshelves for me. Things have improved, but education is still needed. My aim is to get this book into libraries so that people can read it for free. I also want to get it onto the school curriculum, but that might take some time." Cathy's work on the book is voluntary. She calls it a passion project and says it will be published in spring 2023. "I feel really privileged to be able to help people from the LGBTQ community to be seen and heard," she said. "I'm looking forward to collating the information for the book."
One of Russia's top ballet companies will bring three shows to the Wolverhampton Grand, marking the 20th anniversary of its first UK season. The Russian State Ballet will present its iconic productions of Swan Lake, Romeo and Juliet, and The Nutcracker from February 28th to March the 2nd. Led by artistic director Sergei Bobrov and music director Anatoly Chempumoy, the company has built an international reputation for delivering performances of outstanding quality and depth. Mr. Bobrov said, "I am delighted to return to the UK this year. The response of audiences wherever the company performs is overwhelming. We can't wait to be back on stage in front of UK audiences once again." Since its first Christmas season at St David's Hall in Cardiff in 2002, the company has completed 18 UK tours and has had success in Italy, Spain, Slovakia, Japan, Turkey, Bulgaria, Taiwan, United Arab Emirates, and Singapore. More than 100 opera and ballet productions have been created for the theatre over the past 40 years, with many receiving high critical and public acclaim. Swan Lake is at the Wolverhampton Grand on February 28th, Romeo and Juliet on March 1st, and The Nutcracker on March 2nd, all at 7:30 p.m. The Nutcracker also has a 2:30 p.m. matinee performance.
Now it's time to hear from our ever knowledgeable Flashback Roger for another Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. Well, before we meet again next week, Valentine's Day falls, and I'll no doubt be buried beneath a pile of romantic wishes, so I don't want you to go to any trouble sending me one, okay? Any road up, let's get on with this week's spot. Now then, did you know that? The origins of Valentine's Day is vague, though in Roman times, mid-February, saw festivals which included the pairing off of men and women by a lottery. The festival was then known as Lupercalia, and it was banned and is thought to be replaced with Valentine's Day. There were, though, several people named Valentine who were martyred in the name of love. One popular story is where one sent a note to his lover from his prison cell and signed it, "From your Valentine." He came a cropper, though, because his lover turned out to be his jailer's daughter, to whom he had unwittingly given the note to be delivered. On the darker side is the story of the infamous St. Valentine's Day massacre in Chicago on the 14th of February, 1929, when seven members of the Northside Gang, rivals of mobster Al Capone, were murdered. It was never proven that Al Capone was behind the crime, which goes down as a black day in Chicago's history. On a pleasanter note, this time of year sees many birds in Britain starting to build their nests. The official bird nesting season begins in February and runs till August, when farmers and contractors are obliged to limit hedge laying and surrounding work to minimise the impact on any nesting species. February's official flower is the violet. There are actually hundreds of species of violets growing on nearly every corner of the earth. Also known as pansies or heartsease, violets are edible and are often used to decorate salads or sprinkle over fish and poultry. They're also often candied in sugar and eaten on their own, or used to decorate pastries, or distilled into a sweet syrup used to make violet-flavoured treats and liquors. There are some weather lore sayings about February, and are in use at other times of the year too. Here are just a few. If there's a ring around the moon, rain will come soon. And clear moon means frost soon. And what about higher the cloud, finer the weather? And then, of course, there's red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Or as I prefer to say, red sky at night, the shepherd's utter light. So there you are then. That's it for this week, folks. I hope that you have loads of romantic ideas in hand ready for the 14th. Last year, the only post I received with red on were final demands. Better luck this time round, eh? Any road up, I'm off. And make sure my bills are all paid up. Till next week then, I'll say bye for now. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Now we have our sportsman, Ian, giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. Wolves' FA Cup dreams were dashed after a passive display was punished by Premier League strugglers Norwich in the fourth round. In what was a dismal first half of football, in which Wolves flattered to deceive, a late Kenny McLean header handed Norwich the lead. Norwich striker Adam Ida was twice denied by John Ruddy, while Wolves were desperately poor in the first half. Although Daniel Podan struck a post and Ruben Neves connected with a volley in an improved second half showing, Bruno Lage's side could not equalise. Striker Raul Jimenez, who scored the winning goal against Panama in World Cup qualifying last week, was introduced in the 64th minute but dragged a shot wide in stoppage time. Wolves failed to muster a single shot on target before half-time, but they applied pressure in the second half, with Podence going closest and Nelson Semedo having a low drive gathered by Michael McGovern. Norwich could have added a second late on when substitute Kieran Dowell's low drive was superbly pushed away by former Norwich keeper Ruddy. Wolves next take on Arsenal in the Premier League at Molineux this Thursday and then have a trip to the capital city as they take on Spurs this coming Sunday. Steve Bruce says he has one aim as Albion boss, winning promotion to the Premier League. The 61-year-old was last week confirmed as the club's new manager after putting pen to paper on an 18-month contract at the Hawthorns. Bruce left Newcastle in October, 13 days after their Saudi-led takeover, and said at the time he may not return to management. Now, though, just a day after the Baggies sacked Valerian Ismail, he has become only the second manager to have managed Birmingham, Villa and Albion, along with Ron Saunders. Ismail's departure also saw sweeping changes at the top of the club, with controlling shareholder Guochuan Lai opting to replace Xu Qi
as chief executive with Ron Gourlay taking his place. And it was Gourlay who pushed to hire Bruce, with the former Manchester United defender having guided Blues to promotion in 2002 and 2007, and Hull in 2013 and 2016. I am delighted to have the opportunity to manage a club that has such a great history and tradition, Bruce said. It is a club I obviously know well from my time in the Midlands, and I am already relishing the challenge of taking it forward. I did not envisage I would return to management this quickly, but once I got the phone call from Ron, I knew I could not resist the challenge of getting this club back to where they want to be. I am coming in with one aim, and that is to get Albion to the Premier League. West Brom next have a trip to Sheffield United this Wednesday, and then take on hosting duties as they face high-flying promotion rivals Blackburn on Monday.
Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Julian, and here he is.
Hello everyone, welcome to 10 Today, broadcast number 8. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If an exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either standing up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you all to do this exercise safely. You are responsible for monitoring how you are feeling throughout the session. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, it would be ideal if you can use a hard chair so you can sit upright. It could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises, and have your feet flat on the floor. Okay, if you're stood up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders, and stand up nice and tall, and take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor. Keep your back straight, relax your shoulders, and take a couple of deep breaths in and out. In and out. So, first up, we have lift and lower. And remember, all the movements can be achieved whether you're sitting or standing. Raise both your arms straight up together with your palms up. Now raise up on your toes, then lower your toes back down, bringing your arms down at the same time. Then bend over gently without straining your back, and with your arms and legs straight if standing, or feet flat on the floor with your knees bent if sitting. Swing your arms from side to side twice, and come back to stand or sit up straight and take a breath. Now we're going to repeat that routine. So raise both arms straight up together with palms up. Raise up on your toes, then lower your toes back down, bringing your arms down at the same time. Then lean over gently, keeping legs and arms straight if standing, and feet flat on the floor and knees bent if sitting, and swing both arms from left to right twice, and return to standing position. So keep going, lifting up and down, then bending over and swinging. Great work, everyone. This is a nice one just to get all those muscles nice and warm. Next up is straight out. So for this one, if you're standing, you might want to make sure you're near a chair for balance. And whether you're sitting or standing, please do not raise legs higher than hip level. Keeping your left leg soft, bend your right leg and lift your knee level to hip height. Now gently stretch out your right leg as straight as you can without straining. Then bend knee again and return your foot to the start position. Now do the same on the other side, bending your left leg and lifting your knee level to hip height. Now stretch out your left leg as straight as you can without straining, and then bend your knee again and return to the start position. Keep doing this on alternate legs, lifting knee up to hip height, stretching leg out, and returning to the start position. This is a great one for working out those legs. The next one is called crunch for core. Bend your right arm and bring your right elbow towards your left knee, lifting the knee to reach your elbow. You should feel a nice crunch in your core, then release back down. If you're sitting and find it harder to lift the knee, bend your back and lean into it. Or if that's uncomfortable, then you can tap your knee with your hand instead. Now do the same on the other side. So bend your left arm and bring your left elbow towards your right knee, or tap your hand on your knee and release. Whichever variation you're doing, you should feel that crunch in your core. Keep going on alternate sides. Just a few more now. This is great workout for your tummy. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. The next one is called out and over. If you're standing, I recommend you're near something that you can hold onto for balance, like a chair. So raise your right leg out straight in front of you. Then keep your leg straight and move it gently to the right side until you feel that nice stretch in the top of your leg. Then move it back to the centre and back down. Repeat this on the same leg. So raise your right leg out straight in front of you, then keep your leg straight and gently move it to the right side, feeling that nice stretch. Then move your leg back to the centre and back down. So raise straight out, to the side, back straight and back down. And again, do that a couple more times. This is really good for your hips, tummy and thighs. Now we're going to do the same on your left leg. So you raise your left leg out straight and gently move it to the left side until you feel that nice stretch in the top of your leg. Then move it back to the centre and back down, remembering to keep that leg straight. So up, to the side, back straight and back down. A couple more times on this side now. Great work, everyone. Next up is full circle. Stand up nice and tall and keep your back straight. Raise both arms straight up above your head and then sweep them round together to the right, making one big circle all the way back up to the top. And keep going, swinging one big circle to the right. Just a couple more on this direction. Now lower your hands, relax your shoulders and take a breath. Good work. Now we're going to do exactly the same, but in the opposite direction. So keep making those nice big circles. It's a great workout for your shoulders, this one. Now we have push up to moon. So keep your legs nice and soft, and if you're sitting, keep your feet nice and firmly on the ground. Bend your arms so both hands are at chest height, then push both your hands together up in the air on your right, like you're pushing up to the moon. Then sweep your hands back down, front of your tummy and to the left, pushing both your hands up to the air again on your left. And now keep going. So you're just making a nice big U with your hands, pushing up to the moon on either side. Just a couple more now. Really nice movement, this one. Next up is Slowly Does It. These are slightly different if you're sitting or standing. So if you're standing, keep your back straight, bend at your knees slightly to your halfway point, and hold, and then bend your knees all the way down to your lowest point and hold, and then straighten up your legs again. Remember to keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. So you're just moving halfway, holding, moving down to your lowest point, holding, and then coming back up. Keep going. If you're sitting, just straighten out your right leg right in front of you and hold briefly, feeling that nice stretch down your leg. Then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you're also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going, always remembering to keep your back straight. So for those standing, bending knees down to your halfway point and hold. Then down to your lowest point and hold, and then up. And sitting, raising your alternate legs and holding briefly. Good job, everyone. Next up is swing back. If you're standing, keep your legs straight. If you're sitting, keep your feet flat on the floor. Bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then straighten out your right arm and gently swing it back so you feel a nice rotation in your back. Looking towards your right hand, just take it as far as you feel comfortable. Then return to the center and straighten out your left arm and gently swing it back, looking towards your left hand. And repeat. Keep your feet and hips facing forward. You're just moving side to side, swinging your arms back nice and gently, feeling your back rotate as you move side to side. Just a couple more now. This is a great one for trunk rotation. Our last exercise today is Strike of the Cobra, a wee bit of martial arts. So if you're standing or sitting, keep your back straight and maintain a strong stance and clench your fists at chest height, like you're a boxer. Then with your right hand, punch arm straight out and return. And then punch upwards towards the left-hand corner of the ceiling, so your arm crosses over your body and return. Now do the same with your left hand. So punching straight forward, then punching upwards across the body towards the right, and keep going. Really think about how your muscles are responding here, making the punches slow and controlled. Just a couple more now. Good job. Now we really should all be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. If you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Anyway, nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and cool down. So we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of your leg. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Then return to a standing up position and swap your legs. So this time, step forward with your left foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your right leg and just lean forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you are hugging a tree directly in front of you. And your arms form a nice circle in front of you. And then cup your hands, putting one hand in front of the other. Push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Now sit up or stand up and return to that nice relaxed posture we had at the beginning. Brilliant. So that was all the exercises, and we hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shake it out. Just shake those arms and hands and then legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today just 3 times a week can have great health benefits. It's fun. You'll simply feel better. So do keep going. Thank you for listening.
Ooh, that was a workout and a half. Well, now we'll have a sit down and have a listen to the weather. Brought to us by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead starts off dry and bright, but it soon descends into seasonal dankness. Temperatures will be typically hovering around 9 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 7:24 a.m. for the sunrise and 5:22 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 11th of February and Saturday 12th of February, we have sunny intervals and gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 7 degrees. On Sunday 13th of February, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 8 degrees. Moving on to Monday 14th of February, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 8 degrees. On Tuesday 15th and Wednesday 16th of February, it's light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. And finally, on Thursday 17th of February, we have light cloud and light winds with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. So that's your forecast for this week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks for that, Mina. Now we move over to Craig and his Black Country joke book.
Well, I'm Craig, and I've got for you some fantastic jokes from my Black Country joke book. A man walks into a pub with a roll of tar and look under his arm, and he says, 2 pints, please, one for me and one for the road. Here's another one for you. My mate said to me, this watch I bought off Dudley Market is a belter. So I said, what makes it so special? And he said to me, well, it does an hour in only 40 minutes. And finally, a bloke walks into a pub in Wolverhampton and asks, what's the quickest way to Cannock? Are you walking or do you have a car? Said the barman. I've a car, replied the bloke. Ah, good, said the barman. That's probably the quickest way. I'm Craig, and that was my Black Country joke book.
Thanks for those, Craig. Up next, we have Mina with the answers to this week's quiz.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. Where did Valentine's Day originate? And the answer, ancient Rome. Question 2. In what year was the St. Valentine's Day massacre? The answer, 1929. Question 3. What was the name of the gangster allegedly responsible for the massacre? And the answer, A.L. Capone. Question 4. What do birds start to do in Britain in February? And the answer here is, they start nest building. Question 5. What is the official flower of February? And the answer, of course, is the violet. Question 6. Complete this saying, a red sky at night. And the answer here is, shepherd's delight. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of someone pulling sticky tape. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we have a review from TNF Soundings that it is taking a look at fitness and well-being audiobooks.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, I'm Nikki, and here's an article from Calibre Audio, published by Charles Lambert, called Health and Fitness Books to Add to Your Reading List in 2022. As 2022 begins, there's no better time to get working on achieving your ambitions. Our audiobook collection contains a wealth of information and useful strategies to help you bring order to your life, calm negativity, and to navigate the year ahead in pursuit of the goals you find meaningful. In the following article, audiobooks on making positive changes are the focus. They center around common themes ranging from mental health to success and achievement. Some are inspirational stories about overcoming adversity. Others share relatable anecdotes which remind us not to be too hard on ourselves. Both are intended to strengthen our resilience, make us less prone to stress, and enable us to set goals and single-mindedly pursue them. Health and fitness books to read in 2022. Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art by James Nestor. Let's start with the most routine activity of all, breathing. In Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art, James Nestor argues that whilst humans inhale around 25,000 times a day, it's easy to assume this instinctive automatic process does not require attention or improvement. However, the fact that it is so fundamental means optimizing your uptake of oxygen can have profound implications, from rejuvenating internal organs to improving athletic performance. Shortlisted for the Royal Society Prize 2021, the book has received critical acclaim from medical professionals, media, and the public alike for its scientific accuracy and accessible narrative. Popular podcast host Dr. Rangan Chatterjee called it fascinating and full of dazzling revelations, whilst asking, "Who would have thought something as simple as changing the way we breathe could be so revolutionary for our health? I guarantee you will want to change the way you breathe." The Breath as a Key by Jenny Adams. We also have content on helping you apply and develop this skill. The Breath as a Key is an hour-long introduction to some useful breathing exercises and techniques which you can put into practice to relieve stress and capture its health benefits. Gut, The Inside Story of Our Body's Most Underrated Organ by Julia Enders. From One Overlooked Function to Another, Gut by Julia Enders explores the burgeoning scientific data on the body's microbiome, which houses around as many bacteria as there are human cells in your body, impacting digestion, mood, longevity, and many other functions. Enders informs us on probiotics and how to increase these invisible allies whilst educating us on the studies currently being conducted to improve our understanding of their role. Behind the Mask by Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury became the world heavyweight boxing champion for the second time 3 years after reaching 28 stone in weight and falling into a deep depression, which almost took his life. In that time, he shed 10 of those stone through hard training and low-carb dieting as he set his sights on coming back from the brink. He became a role model for overcoming the challenges of mental health by demonstrating the value of setting meaningful and ambitious goals and then striving to achieve them. The Boxing Diaries, How I Got Hooked by Marion Dunn. Whilst the World Championships might not be the aim for most people, especially when first starting a new sport, forming a healthy new habit likely is. The driving force of positive fitness lifestyle changes is often enjoyment, as this will provide the drive to make it a routine. At age 50, Marion Dunn took up boxing to improve her fitness, and it soon became an obsession. Arriving at a local gym one day, her nerves vanished along with her preconceptions as she was openly welcomed and began training. Feeling her anxiety turn into adrenaline was a massive source of her newfound passion for health and fitness. Now her goal is to inspire other women, particularly those over 50, to do the same. "I really enjoyed this. I have absolutely no boxing knowledge or interest in boxing, but it was a lot of fun to see her journey, even if the technical terms were lost on me." Lauren on Goodreads. Jogging On, How Running Saved My Life by Bella Mackey. This Sunday Times bestseller will get you on your feet and out the door as you listen to Bella Mackey's story from a self-confessed couch potato to regular runner. In Jog On, How Running Saved My Life, struggling with crippling depression and anxiety led Bella to lace up and go for a run one day, and she soon found her spirits lifting. It's not hard to see why running clubs are currently experiencing a surge in popularity when you hear this relatable account of an everyday individual's fitness journey. My Story by Stephen Gerrard. Few come close to Stephen Gerrard's status as a sports person. In My Story, the former Liverpool and England captain shares the highs and lows of his football career. He explains how dedication, loyalty, and a champion's mindset earned him 9 trophies alongside an MBE for his services to the sport. The first on the training ground and last to leave, his exemplary leadership is inspirational. It will make you put in that extra effort next time you're exercising. My Life, Queen of the Court by Serena Williams. Rounding off with one of the most empowering stories of all, Serena Williams proves that hard work beats raw talent as she educates us on how she overcame her limitations to win every major tennis competition. Explaining that her sister, Venus, was always the superior player during their younger years, Serena's unfaltering mentality is what made the difference. Whilst both reached the sport's top level, Serena's competitive spirit gave her the determination to accomplish her most ambitious goals imaginable. During this time, she also had to overcome racial prejudice as she excelled in the traditionally undiversified world of tennis, often writing messages of affirmation on her bag, reminding her to endure and persevere. It's a worthy reminder of the struggles people go through to achieve their aims, that everyone experiences their own challenges, but that they can be overcome through persistence and positivity.
TNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!